everyone. This is the Higher Discourse Podcast. This is the show where we talk about the infinite positive possibilities of our shared future and what's holding us back. This episode is about violence. Let's talk about it.
Stop him. You wanted to save the butterfly, right?
I didn't want to kill the spider. I wanted to save them both.
What are you talking about? Unless the spider caught the butterfly, it would die of starvation anyway. You can't save both, don't you know that?
It's not right to make that choice so easily. Huh? Both of them are living creatures, Knives, so you should...
But I'm not wrong about this, Rem. If you just keep saving the butterflies, the spiders will die.
Yes, but...
Wanting to save both is just a naive contradiction. And what would you have rather had us do? Just stand and think about it? In the meantime, while we do that, the spider eats the butterfly.
What's wrong with you, Knives? Don't you understand? I wanted to save both of them, you idiot!
All right, and just a quick preface for this episode. During my recording of the previous episode, Structural Corruption, I actually thought it was pretty important to pause for a moment and talk about violence a little bit. That talk about violence turned out to be about a 13 to 14 minute tangent that when I listened back to the episode, I thought that it would probably be a little bit more cohesive if I just left all the structural corruption stuff in one place and moved this sort of violence tangent that I spoke on into a different episode. And that's what you'll hear here today. The reason I felt it was important to go on this tangent to at least speak on this issue of violence is because a lot of what I discuss here on Higher Discourse and a lot of the things I'm going to talk about are going to be talking about very important things that need to be changed about our system. It may be talking about a lot of the difficulties we may face. I may be talking a lot about a lot of the solutions and how we might implement those solutions. Permanent solutions. And in a discussion like that, there will be people who are concerned about how we get there. What do we do? And a lot of times it's easy for us to default to this idea of violence and to default to this sort of knee-jerk reaction and this assumption that violence is somehow necessary to achieve certain ends. And because that's such a easy way to start thinking, it's such an easy sort of pitfall to fall into, I felt it important, at least early on in these episodes, early on in this sort of Higher Discourse podcast, to start talking about violence and to make a point to express my feelings on that issue, because it is such a common thing for people to fall into, this thought of violence and this assumption that violence is the best way forward or the only way forward. So I felt it important to address it right away. That being said, I felt it important to go ahead and speak a few words about that, at least get my opinion out on that as early as possible in these episodes. So it actually kind of works out that it's its own separate episode now. Then sort of squeezing it into the middle or leaving it where it was originally in the middle of that previous episode, Structural Corruption. So with that being said, here's the clip. So I feel that there's an important topic that I should go ahead and talk about and get out of the way right now. That topic is violence, which is an unfortunately popular topic when it comes to talking about changing the system, talking about changing the world. And this may or may not come as a shock to you, but there are some people who believe that the only way to change a broken game is to break that game through violence. You know, they believe that people have to meet structural violence of the game head on with violent revolution. I don't believe that. I don't recommend that. And I think it's a bit of a trick being played on everybody. So the reason I think that, let me go ahead and explain. I mean, like, if we go back to the original analogy, right? The rules of the game are created at the inception of that game, right? The game can't exist without its rules. The two are one and the same. The game is the rules of that game. The game is its own rules. The rules of the game are that game. So if it's your objective, if you're one of these individuals who believes in violence and it's your objective to build a new world and you think to get there, you have to kill, then whatever your new world, whatever your new game that you're building is, killing people, killing will continue as one of its legitimate rules. And the killing won't stop because it's how you began that new story, that new game. If you try to create a new world by spilling human blood, then that becomes one of the rules of that new world. That becomes one of the rules that that new world will follow. And then human blood will be what needs to maintain that world. More bloodshed. I mean, look at the world we have right now, right? Bloodshed and death forged the mess we're in today. And what little good a few of us can squeeze out of this world has to be maintained and safeguarded, protected, and conserved with even more death and bloodshed. Like I said, a game and its rules are one and the same. And they have to be intercreated in tandem with each other. If an old world ends with bloodshed, then bloodshed will be the way of the new world, right? Like, because the ending of the one thing is part of the DNA of the beginning of the new thing. You know what I mean? We have to be careful not to include death and bloodshed in that DNA when we're building something new, growing something new, developing something better than what we have now, right? Like if you plant the seed of a white flower and then stain the soil and water red, then that flower will grow up red. It won't be white as that seed may have intended. So for those who believe in a violent path forward, or that violence on the path forward is somehow inevitable and there's nothing we can do about it, so we might as well prepare. For those who believe that, your seed may have the intent of peace, like that white flower. But if you water that seed with the bloodshed and death of our current paradigm, then that seed will not grow peace. Peace will not be what grows from that soil. It'll be poison, more of what we have now. If we want a world of peace, then peace has to build that world. Trust and love has to build that world. Togetherness has to be what builds tomorrow. I truly believe that. You can't change a corrupt game or even end that corrupt game with violence and bloodshed. Like if you try, you'll still be inside the game. The very game you're seeking to fix. The very game you're seeking to escape from. So the white flower you wanted, the white flower you planted, you fed it the wrong stuff. And it's going to come out not what you planted, not what you intended. And it'll be you who's passed away and your children who pay the price of perpetuating more of the same into the future. For you to submit yourself to violence, and that's what I believe people are doing who believe in the way of violence, right? For you to submit yourself to violence like that, give in to it, and give it power over the future, you're submitting yourself to a corrupt game when you do that. You're submitting yourself to that corruption and the continuance of it. You know, if you believe in a violent path forward, you're not the system's enemy. You're the system's reproductive organs. You are the thing it will use to perpetuate itself through and with and because of that violence, right? It's just like, you know, like cordyceps in the brain of an ant, right? It's like an ant who's completely overcome with the cordyceps fungus. For those who don't know, the cordyceps fungus, it's a fungus that affects like the brains of insects. And I'm just using an ant as an example. And I'll just keep saying ant instead of insects, right? But like once the insect is infected with this fungus, the fungus goes straight to the ant's brain and like takes it over, right? It more or less kills the ant without killing the ant. It leaves it like mobile and like functional, but the cordyceps is in control of the ant. You know, it's essentially created this sort of undead zombie ant, which had, you know, which becomes really just a vessel for this fungus. So just enough of the ant's like brain and motor functions are left intact so that the cordyceps can control the animal's, you know, movement, so that it can control the animal's sort of instincts and path. Right. So the cordyceps fungus compels the ant to sort of climb to the highest possible place that it can and sort of perch there, you know. And once the ant gets to this high up place and gets to this sort of vantage point, that's when the ant and the cordyceps finally completely takes over and does its job reproducing inside of the ant's brain, grows out of the ant's head, explodes its spores into the air, and then from that high vantage point, it spreads its spores and reproduces that way. You know, that's how it has the highest chance of, affecting the most other ants or other insects or whatever. So again, to reiterate, the fungus uses this ant to get it to climb to the highest possible place it can, so that it could then, as a fungus, explode out of the ant's brain and spread its spores that much better. And so the reason the fungus wanted the insect in that high place was for it to have the maximum chance and the best conditions for the fungus to procreate, to reproduce, to perpetuate itself. That's why the cordyceps fungus allows the infected insect such a high and prominent platform to climb to before it spreads, right? There is a usefulness to such a high place, such a high vantage point, such a high platform, the access it gives the cordyceps virus to so many other insects and ants and space to spread. The advantage is just too much value to the fungus to pass up. So it gives just enough mobility and function to the ant to get to that high place. But its real job is only to spread and help reproduce that the spores of that fungus. And that's why I see the thought and the talk of violence and this idea that it's so necessary and something we need to be ready for and something that's coming and something we need to do, should do, et cetera, et cetera. The reason I see that as such an infection, you know, this worship of violence, past, present, or future, the reason I see it as such an infection is because, again, it's what this system embodies. It's the very fabric of this thing we're currently living in, right? It is one of the foundational rules of the current corrupt game. And so these individuals who think that they are ready to overthrow the system, these individuals who think they're ready to bring violence and rain hell down upon the system and those who safeguard it, are the very same individuals who unknowingly are perpetuating the same thing they seek to escape from. You're infected with the spores of something simply using you to perpetuate itself without you knowing. Your whole existence becomes like that ant. You're just being pushed and pushed to procreate this thing, to help it spread like a disease, like an infection, like a virus. And like many viruses, they don't necessarily go all that far to try to inform the host that they're infected. They try to keep themselves secret so they can ride a good little distance to the next host, and so they can spread and multiply. Some of the people who do the most work to perpetuate the horrors of the system we have are the same people who believe in the violent necessities of changing the system, of fixing the problems that we currently have. And I know that people's intentions are right. I believe that people's intentions are in many ways, for the most part, at least well-intentioned. But effectively, they don't realize what specifically is part of this virus that's carrying it forward. What is part of this cordyceps that allows it to transmit between the ages of mankind, between these eras in human history? This thing is still with us. And so again, I'll say it again, you know, to prostrate yourself before the idea, the holy god of violence, right? To submit yourself and give yourself over to this idea, it's to mute the things within you that could truly shift the global paradigm, right? That could truly change the world. And it's to increase the volume on the things that keep the world the way it is. And people being fooled and duped into believing that violence is the way into the next era, violence is the way to survive, and violence is the way to protect what we have, these are the same people who are the carriers of that infection through the human ages, and that have brought it here with us today, where we are now. If you think violence will beat the game, then the game has already won over you. All right, and that's it for this episode. Again, it was just a quick clip from the previous recording. It was a bit too long of a tangent for that episode, and kind of a short one for its own episode, but hopefully you've been able to find some value in it. Please let me know if you can. Pretty soon I'll have all of these episodes uploaded to YouTube as well, and that should give us a much easier time to sort of chat in the comment section of YouTube. That'll make things a lot more fluid, a lot easier for myself as well as whoever might be listening. But until then, you can contact me on Twitter at Higher Discourse if you have any comments or things to say, or you could reach me directly by email. That's higherdiscoursepodcast@gmail.com. And hopefully soon we'll have more ways that we could sort of communicate. Hopefully, as I sort of get more integrated into these multiple platforms, hopefully you find something valuable enough to comment on or respond to me, and we can sort of start a conversation about some of these topics. And with all that being said, I want to thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Why can't everyone just get along with each other?
I suppose it's because people have many different ways of thinking. But even if we do make mistakes, we have the ability to do something about it and make better choices the next time. And if you keep your vision clear, you will see the future. What happens in our future is our own responsibility.